Hey, welcome to the Chess Experience. On this show, it's all about helping adult improvers. I want to make learning chess easier for you to navigate, and I also want you to have a more fun experience along the way. I'm your host, Daniel Lona, a fellow chess amateur. Let's get to it. This show is sponsored by chess.com, the world's largest chess community. And there's a really exciting and new release from chess.com that I've enjoyed using. It's called Classroom. This feature allows you to easily go over a game live with a friend or a club member that you just played. And you can do so interactively on the board with both of you on video talking to each other. It's also a great way to have a lesson between a student and a coach. And you can check that out on chess.com/classroom. Hi, Laura. How are you today?
So well. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Let's just start by just diving into a little bit about who you are. Can you tell us a little about yourself?
Absolutely. Hi, everyone. My name is Laura Smith. Where to start? I live in Brooklyn, New York with my husband and my three kids under the age of five. I guess that is the most central part of my life for many reasons. You know, I'm a chess master, very lucky that my family really supported me learning the game as a young kid, which happy to talk to more about in this podcast. And now I'm an elementary school teacher, and I teach just all the like regular subjects, but I also incorporate chess into that job as well. I teach my own students, my class, so to speak. But I also have been really excited these last years with the chess boom to also teach chess privately to both kids and adults. Oh, and I also like knitting. And I like music.
That's fantastic. So when did you first become passionate about chess?
So you know how these things are when you hear how you were as a kid. Like I've heard it from my own parents and my family. But from my eyes, I was taught the game, like the moves at five from my dad, who's an awesome chess player. And honestly, part of the reason why I was able to become a chess player. So thanks, Dad, if you're listening. But, you know, at five, I remember anecdotally, apparently he was, you know, going through the New York Times, I guess the Sunday game or whatever, on a good old wooden chessboard, no internet. You know, this is like the 90s. And I was like, okay, those are the pawns, cool. But it wasn't like my passion. But when I turned six, I was like, I want to learn. And my parents took me to what then was the Manhattan Chess Club. That's kind of where the story began. I went to Saturday classes once a week for 3 hours. It was like the highlight of my week. So yeah, 6 years old was when it became a huge part of my life.
That's great. Do you remember about what age you were when you said, I'm going for a title?
That's a good question, Daniel. I'm trying to pinpoint. I do know that I went, this is a year that stands out for me. So 1997, I played in the girls under 10 World Youth Tournament. So like that felt so surreal. I was like, well, I guess when you're a young, I don't know what, if when you're a child, if it's that, that's the right word, but I felt, oh my God, oh my gosh, I'm playing for the, you know, the United States team. What an honor. So it wasn't, if, you know, it doesn't answer your question about title, but it felt very, very important. And, you know, it felt like the real thing because it was, I was very lucky to play in France, you know, with grandmaster coaches and like just that early like taste of competition.
You said this was under 10?
Yeah. That's so incredible. I guess I was 1997. So, you know, I was like nine.
So you had ambitions shortly after that or around that time to reach a titled level. That's impressive. And you know, these days though, you're teaching chess to others more so I think than right. Like than actually competing for higher ratings or titles.
Absolutely. In my dreams, I'm competing. Without a doubt, it's the teaching and the coaching.
You know, in creating this podcast, just a quick, very quick backstory. I spoke with a lot of adult improvers to just get a better sense of what their struggles were. I mean, I'm an adult improver and I know what mine are, but I didn't necessarily think mine were universal. So I reached out to a lot of other adult improvers who I've connected with over the past year and asked them what they felt were their biggest limiting factors to improving or their biggest challenges in trying to improve. And far and away, the number one factor that they almost all said was having limited time to improve, to practice, to play, whatever, to just do chess. They all just wish they had a better sense of, okay, I have XYZ amount of time in a week or in a day, and it's not all that much. You know, how can I get the biggest impact for my time to improve? In other words, if I only have 30, 60 minutes a day, but they didn't know necessarily how to maximize that. So I was just wondering, yeah, if you have some strategies, some ideas on how they can do that.
Yeah. Well, first of all, like I wanted to say a little bit, I just want to add to what you were saying. I listened to an interview your interview, right, on the Apple podcast. And I'm just so impressed with your improvement, Daniel. Maybe you can, please chime in because that's part of this. I'm so excited to be part of the chess community and this this new community where I'm teaching adults, learning what works and what doesn't. I guess so. Yeah, please, if you have any insight, tell me as we speak because sure. I'm still learning. Something that I think is really important. I want to thank my student Matt who said I could share his experience. Something that seems to be a hurdle for adults is the vast amount of resources now online. What should you do if you have literally 30 minutes, call it 5 days a week so that, you know, the weekend sure. or whichever 2 days you're not, okay? So if you have 5 days a week and 30 minutes per day, you know, what you want to be doing is a combination of calculation skills with practice and analysis of your games. That's what I would say in a nutshell. Mm. Should you be memorizing long gambit openings? Nope, not until you're over 1400. You know, and this is my opinion, obviously, right? Like every chess coach has his or her own opinion. So, you know, you can take things with a grain of salt. You can think about this, but from what I've seen, one big issue for adults is like, what's the course of study? So for kids, often, you know, we give them quite a clear study outline. But when it comes to teaching adults, we kind of want them, a lot of us, and I used to do this too, like, oh, just like go on YouTube and search that. No, like it needs, in my opinion, it also needs, you need a regimented course because how are you going to, when you finally have those 30 valuable minutes without a kid crying, or even if you don't have kids, without your dog barking, like whatever it is, then you don't need to go search for your course. Like it's there and you know what you're doing. So, you know, I would say if you have the means to get a coach, that's going to be great. Okay. If you're at the point where you're self-teaching yourself, also you can, these are some things I would suggest. The step method is, in my opinion, the best course of study from absolute beginner to expert level, which is kind of nice because what Matt had told me and some other students, one of my friend from high school, he told me the same thing. I'll call him Tommy for this interview. He's like, Laura, you know, what should I buy? And, you know, when a friend asks you that, right? Like you want to point them in the right direction. And I'm guilty of this too for hobbies such as learning keyboarding or learning knitting. I'm like, for beginners, I'm going to buy that. And, oh, I'm going to find a YouTuber that's not too fast and can like, you know, get, you know, reach me where I'm at. Like, do not teach me something with jargon over my head. That's the most frustrating feeling, especially for an adult and a kid too. So I would say, you know, in my opinion, the best workbook material would be the step method. And it's, you know, it's not so, it's very affordable. And it's really cool because it forces you to literally use pencil and paper, right? And it's like, they don't have it online. So you need to actually like do the puzzles. And you can't just guess the answer, meaning like, oh, click retry. Like you need to, it develops your calculation. It slows you down. It breaks every concept into small steps.
That sounds amazing. I want to ask you some more questions about the step method in just a sec. I was wondering if we could just rewind a little bit to something you said earlier. I just had a follow-up question for you, because you mentioned there was like two broad categories of focusing on studying when you have limited time. One was calculation, and then the other was, did you say like analysis of
games? to actually play games and analyze them.
Okay. And so I was wondering if you could elaborate a little bit more on calculation. Now, to me, that could just mean puzzles, but I'm wondering if it went beyond that or took some other forms.
Yeah. So it's predominantly with the puzzles. So in my coach mind, I'm thinking like whatever level you were at, say you're a 800 player trying to get to 1,000, let's say that, right? Mm-hmm. So you're still not seeing certain unprotected pieces whatnot, like doing those puzzles and visualizing without, like, in an actual book, right, forces your brain to do the work. You know, I do feel like technology is incredible. And that's something my student said when she was younger, Jessie. She said she didn't have access to so much technology. And now she can, like, we can be self-learners, which is incredible, right? First of all, not all of us have the means or the time to get a coach, right? So if you can't, like, teach, you know, using the internet's incredible. I'm just saying that a lot of players fall into the trap of just doing, in my opinion, doing puzzles only on technology, like only on, like, you know, Lead Chess. I love Lead Chess and chess.com. They're incredible, right? But when you want to get better, you've got to do that hard work that you can't do when you're over the board. You can't click retry. Like, you just can't. And I feel like I'm very lucky to have grown up when I did, because I kind of enjoy both. I enjoy the actual, like, I enjoy it and understand the benefit, because it worked for me, you know? My coaches did it for me, and now I want to send that to my own students, if that makes sense. So calculating with puzzles, but also I also did hear in your podcast, you study with Dan Heisman, correct?
That is correct. Yes.
That is incredible. My husband introduced me, because Sean, you know, works for Chess in the Schools, and he, when I was developing my teaching style, I had many students who would be hanging pieces, and I was just like, "What do I do? Give them double attacks?" He's like, "No, no, no, no. They need to learn to count the piece." You know, everyone wants these like fancy checkmates in three. Those are amazing, or more, right? They want to have discovered checkmate, double check, back rate. You know, that's great. I'm not saying chess is an art. It's beautiful and you can enjoy many aspects of it, right? But I am saying if you want to get better, you need to do those things that we might take for granted. Like, you need to, like, and Dan Heisman is the, I don't even want to say expert because I know he's a master, but I mean, like, he's an expert at teaching that concept. And I've learned from, like, back to basics, I believe, and he's got his novice nook. Like, there's so many incredible resources that he's done for calculating, if that helps.
Yeah, absolutely. I am on the Dan Heisman train, totally. So. but for anyone who's listening who isn't, maybe that helps encourage them to check out his materials too.
Yeah.
Just a follow-up question again on puzzles. So this will be a chance for you. Said you were curious, like, what my insights were, and I'll share one of my insights, and then maybe you can just bounce off of that and tell me, you know, if you've seen that, you know, in your own experience teaching adults / kids or not. As I started to dial into the chess community online, as I was getting back into it again, second time in my life about a year ago, you know, I heard over and over, you got to emphasize tactics. That's more important than openings. That was definitely true advice. But what seemed to be missing from it was just a little more detail on how to go about studying tactics.
Yeah.
And so I ended up starting with some tactics books that were very hard for me. and it's not as though I couldn't solve any of the puzzles. It's just that it would take me 3 to 5 minutes often to solve a puzzle. At best, like, I could do it in 2 minutes. That was like 80% of the puzzles were that hard. And I thought that was a good thing. But speaking of Dan Heisman, he recommended making sure that you also just be able to solve relatively easy tactics quickly and get to that
point. Yes, well. Couldn't have said it better. Thank you. That's what I was trying to explain.
So I'm curious, if you would just comment on that, because once I shifted to that, I got so much better when I didn't spend all of my, I got so much better at tactics and chess in general when I didn't spend all of my time on just, you know, very hard puzzles. So I'm wondering if you could just speak to that, if you found that to be true as well, and maybe how someone should divide up between, you know, easy tactics versus hard tactics in their study.
I am so happy you shared that perspective, because you have had incredible growth and you are speaking to something which I thought was true. But again, no one knows someone else's journey. Remember, I learned as a child, and correct me if I'm wrong, I remember you had mentioned you learned as a kid but took a break. Can you just clarify that so I know the argument that I'm trying to make?
I learned as a child and played very casually with other friends, but then I got kind of serious about it in middle school and competed for about a year and a half. And then it was chess was dormant in my life until many years later.
Okay. So yeah, like I guess even you had that bit of competitiveness, whereas me, I had, like, for example, an interest of mine is like music, but I didn't as a kid. I just did chess in school and a little gymnastics. So like, I do like to take out variables to understand this, because we're getting to something really interesting, you know, in the idea of learning. So, you know, you still had a little bit of chess competitiveness in you, but okay, you're right. Like you really took it seriously the last year or two, right? To get where, that big growth. So yeah, like I think a lot of us are giving ourselves or our students things that are just not at the correct level. And so, yeah, it could be fun to solve a fun problem. Nothing wrong with that. But when we're given limited time, I do think that's great advice. Do not do puzzles that are taking more than 3 to 4 minutes as the majority of your training. Something that goes along with that is I was lucky enough to collaborate with the incredible women's grandmaster, Katerina Nemkova. She's awesome. She's a streamer. And she actually gave me a lesson on Twitch. And it was really cool. I was like, yeah. She's like, yeah, just let's play some games and we'll talk about it afterwards. And that's kind of how I got super into chess steps again. So Kat, thank you if you're listening, because I had always heard about it, but you know how you hear about so many things, right? And kind of the issue that some of my students had with, even as a chess coach and a chess master, you know how many things I've heard of and which ones to pick, right? You have to choose some. So she had told me that even her, she's like 2400, she's an incredible chess player, right? She just played in the US Women's Championship. You know, she's a competitor, right? She even uses steps to step 5 or 6, because it's 6 levels. So step 6 is like, you might say, oh, but that's only for, like, an expert could solve that. But that's the point. It's like training your brain to see things, because when you play chess online or over the board, you're not necessarily looking for a smothered mate. You're looking for how to win material quick, right? Like little things and just being sharp. And that comes from doing puzzles that are either, they can even be a little bit easy for you as long as you're doing them every day, and then throw in some hard ones. I like that time thing you mentioned. Like, I guess you said anything like more than 2 minutes doesn't seem to make sense for the majority, right, of the training.
Right. Yeah. If like 80% or 90% of your puzzles is taking you more than 2 minutes, it started to feel counterproductive at that point.
Interesting. I'm going to use that for my own preparation as I get back to where I want to be on the board.
Awesome. Awesome. That's great. Mm-hmm. I'm actually flattered. It's hard for me to believe that any insight I have could be relevant for somebody who's titled, but I guess, you know, we all learn from each other.
No, it's super helpful. And, you know, I want to pass that on to my students and my friends who just want to get better at chess. And, you know, that's really helpful.
I'm curious, like, what you would say about other areas of chess to study. Because, like you said focusing on, you know, one half is games and and analysis of them, and then the other big component is the calculation/puzzles. You know, if someone's say around, 1100, 1200, around there, does study of endgames become important or relevant for them? Or is that something that they should wait on? And then same question for strategy as well.
Yeah, those are excellent questions. So end games is calculation, right? To the most finite way. Disclaimer, end games is my weakest part of my game. So if you're looking for an end game, don't come to me. I'm joking. I know my basic end game. That's not my favorite part of the game because I'm not great at it, you know? But sure. No poker.
I'm sure you're way better at it than me and would have a lot to teach me though, nonetheless.
But like, we want to consider end games for the point of this discussion as king and queen versus king checkmate, king and rook versus king checkmate, and then king and promoting a passed pawn, bringing your king in front of the pawn, opposition. And if you want to be really fancy, the square of the pawn, sure. These are great concepts to learn, right? But mm-hmm. I wouldn't say before, you know what you should do before you're 1,000, before you're a confident 1,000 player, like that shouldn't be the top use of your time if you have limited time. That was what I would say about the end games. Okay. And your other question was strategy?
Yeah. Like when does that become part of the, say, weekly training regimen? And how much of it should you spend on it? If you have that, you know, let's say, I guess basically we're talking maybe about 2.5 to 5 hours a week. If you have 30 to 60 minutes a day, 5 days a week, you know, when does it come into play and, you know, how much of your training should it be?
In answer to that question, I'm going to think about strategy in a different kind of sense, the way I teach my own students, adults who are speaking about. I think it's very important early on to develop a style because that's a whole nother discussion. And I'm no expert on this, but I'm very interested in the topic of chess psychology and psychology in general. So you mm-hmm. need, you know, I do believe, and I weave this into lessons or into discussions with friends who are serious about getting good at chess, but you need to know, it sounds a little cliche, but you need to know what your style is. If you are an attacking player, you love open games. You like sacrificing, even if you're like, as you said, I like how you said that, an adult improver, right? Who cares what the number is because you need to be confident. You should find some chess players that are your role models and study their games for strategy, the strategies they're doing, right? I know I said before openings aren't the most important, but again, just like you'll see with any debatable topic, some coaches, we're all going to agree to disagree, but at the end of the day, you do need some openings, even from the beginning. You just don't, in my opinion, need to know 30 moves of the Nydorf. Like, I don't think that's going to be helpful. But you know, are you an attacking player? Maybe you want to definitely want to open with e4. Maybe you want to learn a gambit, have a little bit of confidence on the board, know the first few moves. And that can go into strategy. The strategy piece, I think it's great to go through a few strong games a week in your study plan. And if you're someone who's like, no, I like to be tricky and I want to play a little bit. I don't want to give them too much. Like maybe you're going to develop that style early, you know, and just knowing what you like and what you don't like. And that's going to be key because you want to be able to feel confident on the board. Even if you're a learner, you're an improver, you still should gravitate towards positions you like. My one student, thank you, Matt, for letting me use your name. He mentioned that he's trying to find his own style. You know, I asked him and I think that's great. I don't think even like for me, I know I'm an attacking chess player. I don't do well in as I told you, like going to the end game isn't going to be what I want to do. I don't want to trade queens. So if you're preparing for me, try to trade queens. But that's the fun of it. We all have our chess style, you know?
I'm glad I'm not the only one who doesn't always want to go into an end game.
Yeah. And I think people, you know, I think I'm comfortable in this in this type of conversation about style, because I've played chess since I was a kid. So I've had the time to see, and I had that early success in this hobby. But I get it. It's hard. Like, I'm not a confident musician. I'm like, where is everything? You know, like, I know the chessboard so well because of all, you know, the idea of 10,000 hours to become an expert at something, right?
Right.
So.
Sounds like you're saying strategy kind of begins with knowing your style. Once you get to a certain proficiency level, I think you said maybe around over 1,000 or so, you know, start identifying your style. That kind of hones in what you should be studying for strategy. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. You have to enjoy this. This is a hobby, right? But at the same time, I do see the frustration that friends have had and students, adult students, when they're like, we speak and they're just like, I've been studying, but I don't know what to study. So like, I always say though, there's nothing wrong with, you know, I always say there's nothing wrong with going on chess.com and just having it on the TV. That's awesome. That isn't your chess study, right? That's fun. Right. And fun is good. That's the point of a hobby. But if you're, when it comes to the actual training, right, you got to do the things that might not be as fun, like counting position, like counting how many pieces are attacking that square, how many are defending it, and then looking at your games and seeing, oh, I forgot to count there. Oh, I forgot to think of three candidate moves here. I had the time, but I just went with my first instinct. You know, oh, like I only calculated what I could do. I didn't notice that my opponent had an in-between move that I didn't look at the forcing moves. You know, that's the analysis and that's the key as well. And it's not necessarily always the most fun part, but if you want to get better, we all have to do that. We have to see where it went wrong.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I just want to talk a little bit more about the chess steps method that you brought up, because it's clear that it's one of your favorite tools to teach. And I'm wondering, what is it about the chess steps method that makes it so effective to you in helping your students?
One thing that I absolutely love about the step method is that it leaves no gaps. So for example, if you're someone who's hovering around 600 or 700 on chess.com or Lead Chess, you know, you might be starting to see where pieces are hanging and starting to protect your own pieces, but you're still, you know, getting into some problems on the board. Step one is great. And on the website, it really breaks down the ratings up to. So let me explain. If your rating is up to 800, you might want to start with step one. You know, you might find a bunch of the topics are a little bit of a review. And honestly, I find that that's okay. There will be some topics that are important to study. And if you're more hovering around 900, 1,000, and you really just want to get better at calculating and start seeing more and using and putting all the skills together, step two is a great place to start. And they write on the website, you know, rating up to approximately 1,400. Now that seems like a large range, but I was looking at step two, even as an expert, and I'm like, oh, okay, some of those problems, I do have to do a double take, even, you know, after doing thousands of puzzles myself. And there are some important concepts that they'll start to introduce. And then in step three, for a rating, you know, up to 1600. And, you know, what's great about steps is it truly can get you to expert level. As a master, I sometimes look at step six before I play in a tournament. And I just, you know, brush up on some calculation, like looking board vision and getting everything ready for my brain. So if you're interested, definitely check out the Chess Steps website. If you are in America, you can purchase the workbooks through chesssteps.com. And they also have the website as the Step-In Method. It's an incredible Dutch company that's created these honestly amazingly beautiful workbooks. They, you know, a lot of coaches I've spoken with, we agree. It's just a different way of teaching. It doesn't require the student to do any additional, like, why is that so? Because we learned that the topic before. It is so thorough and clear.
That's amazing. That's great. And you said that if someone wanted to do the chess steps method, there is, I believe, like a discount code that they can get through you. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm lucky to be affiliated with this incredible company. You can use the code Laura Loves Chess to save at checkout. And if you are looking to get more than, like, if you buy in bundle, they come out to be very, very affordable as well on their website.
That's great. That's great. And if someone wanted to learn from you along with the Chess Steps method, in other words, to have you kind of guide them through it as well as other areas of their learning process, how could they get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Feel free. You can email me, lauralovschess@gmail.com. And I also, you can come hang out. I stream with my husband. We try to stream quite, you know, at least a couple times a month and hopefully eventually more. You can find us twitch.tv/SeanandLaura.
Awesome. That's great. Anything else you wanted to just maybe add? If there was any, I just want to make sure there wasn't like a lingering comment that you wanted to make, about teaching adults or just, the learning process in general. Make sure we have everything covered before we close out the interview.
Yeah, all I want to say is I'm just so grateful that so many people are starting to learn chess. It's been so fun just like on social media, just hearing from high school friends and people who I miss and that want to learn chess. It's just such a great, lively, close-knit community. And I think it's amazing for the next generation to have chess with all the opportunities online. And yeah, I'm just really, really grateful to be part of the chess community again and looking forward to what the future offers.
That's amazing. That's great. Piggybacking that comment, I'm excited to have connected with you, Laura, and to have you on the podcast. And I think that our conversation here just furthers exactly what you talked about, you know, just the expansion of the chess community and more people connecting in it. And it's a great thing. And it's such an honor to have you. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you so much. And I hope Over the Board Chess comes back as soon as, you know, more and more.
More and more, for sure. Yeah, there needs to be more tournaments. Of course, we need it to be safe for that to happen. But yes. I'm desperately hoping for more tournaments on the calendar. So, yeah, cheers to that for sure. Thank you again, Laura. It's great talking to you today.
Thanks for listening. This has been a production of my business, Adult Chess Academy. And that has a website with the same name if you want to look for it. You can also find me being way too active on Twitter by searching my username, Lona_chess. See you next week.